It's Illume Group's Andrea Lay, Packed View's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Wooden Hill Shri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 22nd, and of course it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We found them boundlessly intriguing. We hope you do too. Brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Leading off, Shri.
Thank you, Peter. And Amazon Live introduces a new shoppable ad-supported channel to Prime Video called Freevee, featuring 24/7 interactive content from celebrities and brands, leveraging its Shop the Show technology to enhance viewer engagement and boost its advertising revenue. At least that's the plan. The channel leverages Amazon's Shop the Show technology to enable viewers to easily purchase content seen on the TV screen via a mobile device. The CPG guys and I are excited to try this out, and we will report back how it performs back here in one of our blogs on the CPG guys. So I look forward to that. Over to you, Peter, for what's going on with Walmart Marketplace.
Thanks, Shri. Walmart Marketplace opens Omni service to auto sellers. Walmart is enabling customers to order eligible tires from Walmart sellers and have them shipped to a local Walmart store for easy installation at their auto care centers. Walmart sellers have added 12,000 unique items, including specialty tires, to provide nearly 40,000 marketplace offers that are installation eligible at 2,300 auto care centers around the country. The expanded tire selection complements Walmart's existing auto services that include accessories and battery services, while giving sellers more access to Walmart's omnichannel customer base. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Amazon begins offering Dash Carts to other grocers. Amazon has begun offering its Dash Carts to third-party grocers, expanding the checkout technology beyond Amazon grocery banners and Whole Foods market stores, according to a blog post from the company. Amazon introduces Dash Carts to non-Amazon grocery stores, starting with select locations in the Kansas City area. This rollout comes shortly after Amazon ceased its Just Walk Out technology in Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods. Customers using Dash Carts tend to spend 10% more, with over 80% of the transactions from repeat users, highlighting the cart's convenience and efficiency. Over to you, Melissa.
So Heinz has launched a new limited edition barbecue sauce. Heinz and Barbie lovers in Europe are in luck. A limited edition pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce was launched to celebrate Barbie's 65th anniversary. Mattel and Heinz have unveiled the new Heinz Classic barbecue sauce. It will be available in the UK and Spain initially, and may be available elsewhere in the future. Additionally, there's 5,000 bottles of the new sauce available to purchase online, but they can only be shipped to the UK and Ireland. So for those of you in the US who are curious, you can do what I do and go to TikTok and search pink barbecue sauce, and you will find it.
Thank you, Melissa. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our hosts, Shri Rajagopalan, Peter V.S. Bolland, and Brian Gildenberg, explore how brands and retailers engage consumers in an increasingly digitally driven world. And now, here are the CPG Guys. Hello and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, and when I'm not co-hosting this podcast, along with my partners, I work at Flywheel, the newest division of Omnicom that helps enterprise brands improve their SEO and SEM, growing their e-commerce businesses. Along for today's conversation, I've got my fellow co-founder. Yep, he's one of the OGs. And make sure to listen to his two performing artist daughters, his elder daughter, Ria Raj. You can find her music at riaraj.com, link in the digital liner notes to this episode. And his younger daughter, Lara, who is one of the founding members of the new Hybe Geffen Records girls band called Cat's Eye, and their album debuts this June. Let me welcome my BFF, my bestie. He's not that messy. I'm referring, of course, to his daughter's new song, Messy. You got to check it out on Spotify. He's my ride or die. He's my sidekick. He's my BFF. It's Shri. Hey, Shri, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing awesome, Peter.
Where are you today? You look like you're further away than I can't see you in Los Angeles from where I am in Connecticut right now.
I'm going to give away where I am by holding a can of thumbs up and then referring to the Cadbury's Nutties that are meeting. And homemade potato chips in a plastic bag. Those three can only be acquired in one place.
I love it. You're visiting mom, aren't you?
India, Calcutta, India. And Peter, I'm excited for today's episode because the whole topic we're going to discuss today, I'm not going to give away what the plot is yet. I heard it in a talk by Professor Dan O'Connor from Harvard 2 years ago about what's going on in China. And to hear that that service is now in the U.S., I'm very confident it'll scale over time. Here on the CPG Guys, we're going to talk about it a lot, so I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, we've got a good conversation. Before we get to our guest, we want to ask our audience, help us spread the word about this community we've created at the CPG Guys. Beyond just sharing the podcast with your friends and colleagues, go walk around your office. If you're working in an office, walk around, ask everyone to show you their phone, open up their podcast app. And if they don't have the CPG Guys subscribed, make them do it right there on the spot. Don't let them, you know, friends don't let friends go without listening to the CPG Guys. But seriously, if you have Apple or Spotify as your preferred listening platform, please, please, please leave us a rating on those platforms. Why? Because it helps make our podcast more findable by CPG retail professionals like you who are looking to be educated and entertained. We're very happy that the CPG Guys is part of an impressive collective of highly rated podcasts, including CPG Guys Fast Forward, hosted by Brian Gildenberg, CPG Scoop with Reese and Jennifer, and of course, FMCG Guys, the hottest podcast in Europe around the fast-moving consumer goods world. It's hosted by Daniel, Efrain, and Christine. Please check those all out. And of course, we are incredibly proud of our allyship with Next Up, formerly known as Network of Executive Women, whose mission it is to advance the cause of women in business and to promote gender equality in the workplace. Next Up has terrific educational and networking resources available to its members. Sri is actually a director of Next Up. So links to our podcast, our sister cast, our landing page on Next Up, and the social media profiles of Sri Daughters, all in the digital liner notes of this episode. 92% of you or more are listening on a mobile app. So just toggle over, click a couple of links as you're listening to us talk to our guest. You'll learn, you'll listen, you'll let it get entertained. It'll be fun. So just go ahead and do it, okay? Let's get this conversation going, shall we, Sri? The topic that Sri was referencing that he didn't give a spoiler alert on is, of course, last mile delivery. And it has been a ridiculously crowded space of late with services seeking to outdo one another in speed to consumer. You know, 2 day, 1 day, same day, same hour, same minute. I mean, like crazy. And, you know, like if you think about that as in places like Manhattan, it's like they take up half of the cars on the street. It's kind of a little crazy, whatever it is. But the problem is that most of those have proven to be wholly unsustainable from a profitability perspective. And this competitive spiral that has been predicated, you know, on the belief that consumers are primarily focused on the need for immediate satisfaction and a willingness to pay for that experience, you know, that may be a bit erroneous. The perception of where consumers exist in the urgency versus value equation line is not very accurate for the most part in most of these business models. So enter a new last mile delivery model seeking to drive value for consumers while rejecting the immediacy frenzy that other last mile delivery solutions have embraced. We're partnering on this episode with a company called Buncha, here to speak with us about the last mile delivery landscape and how he believes that Buncha is flipping the model on its head with tremendous success is the founder and CEO of Buncha. Please join me in welcoming to the podcast Bharat Pulgam. Bharat, how are you?
Peter, Sri, I'm great. How are you guys?
We are doing phenomenal. Thanks for taking time out of your day to talk to us from cold confines, the balmy confines of Minneapolis in the winter, which is basically every other day than the 4th of July.
Glad to be here.
Listen, we're so grateful to have you join us today to talk about this. So the background is you approached us at the FMI Midwinter Conference down in Marco Island, said, hey, we've got kind of a different kind of an animal here. We would love to talk to you about what we're doing. And I was really intrigued about what Buncha was doing. So it was like, we got to have him on the podcast to talk about this. So a couple of weeks later, boom, here we are. So before we get to the questions Sri and I have prepared, let's just set the stage. Give us like the elevator pitch of what is Buncha? What does it do? What's your business?
Yeah. So Buncha connects retailers with local neighborhoods through affordable, batched, we like saying milkman style deliveries. We have a marketplace and a white label product, which helps retailers enhance their last mile options for customers, giving shoppers significantly more affordable delivery alternative for the, we like saying, mythical weekly basket, right? So for shoppers that like planning, for the shoppers that are more scheduled, more, you know, looking for more of a cadence, we are a perfect solution for retailers to, you know, provide customers with more options, but also allow them to capture a bigger share of those weekly basket trips and weekly grocery rolls.
That's terrific. Great quick overview. That'll set the stage for our detailed questions. We're going to include links to your LinkedIn profile, Bunch's LinkedIn page, and your corporate website, particularly for brands and retailers that are interested in what Bunch is all about, in the digital liner notes of this podcast episode where people can find it. So why don't we get to the questions that we have? I'm going to kick it off. Much like how the CPG guys started, the onset of the pandemic is a catalyst for the Bunch of origin story. Can you share with it with us? And I want to make mention, this isn't your first rodeo, not your first startup. What's the deal here?
Yeah. So, you know, for some reason, you know, I like solving hard problems, which is fun. So, you know, I started my first business in high school. It was a modular headphones company. And the basic concept was I kept breaking my headphones. I wanted to be able to replace them. So I created this like modular set of headphones where you could repair the part. Started that when I was like 14 with my buddies in high school, scaled that up, got on FBA, you know, sold a bunch of headphones, which was a ton of fun.
Then I wait. You threw out a term there, FBA. Tell our audience what FBA. We like to break down acronyms. Yeah, so we don't let acronyms go by. Tell our audience, what is FBA?
Fulfillment by Amazon. So, okay. You know, we got so on
third party selling.
Yes, correct. So we got up there, which was a ton of fun, learned a lot, right? Built a team, raised some money, got to sell a bunch of headphones. You know, at one point we would put in our PO. I was in my parents' basement, put in our PO. The products would ship from Shenzhen to LA and then LA to FBA. And that was a really cool experience. So that's kind of how I got my taste of entrepreneurship. I went to the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, met my really good co-founders and you know, probably my best friends. Spent a lot of time with them, Josh Chang and Sam Lordahl, much like you and Sri. And, you know, we started doing some random stuff together. We started a web design consultancy. We were like, hey, let's make some websites on WordPress for people that need websites. And then, you know, we had some other ideas. But basically, you know, the pandemic came through and we were at the University of Minnesota. So campus shut down. We moved back home to be with our parents and, you know, live at home. And I always like prefacing, like, you know, there's not like a mythical founder story here, right? Like it just sort of happened. So, you know, my mom's
necessity
like,
is the mother of invention.
Exactly.
Mom was involved in this.
Mom was involved in this. Yeah. I mean, I still point to my mom as an inspiration for many features that we've come up with on Buncha. So during the pandemic, come downstairs in my pajamas. And, you know, Peter, you've heard this story, but mom says, hey, can you go to Costco for me? And I was like, mom, just use Instacart, right? You know, that's available. And she says something really interesting that kind of, you know, just stuck in my head. She's like, oh, you know, I don't need any of this stuff delivered today. You know, so I don't want to pay the fees to get it delivered today. I'm fine if it comes later. And that just kind of stuck with me. I was like, interesting, you know, and then you see, I was on mom on Twitter, now X, right? And I'm seeing all these, not even same day, but instant, right? You know, you were Peter, you were like instant, now, right? Like, let me get it to me before I know I need it, right?
We can get it in the DeLorean and bring it back to you in the past.
Back in time, right? So it's going faster and faster. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting, right? Like my mom knows what she's making for dinner on Saturday. You know, like she doesn't need this use case, right? So who's using it? So that kind of stuck in my head. So I ended up going to Costco. I let my neighbors know I was going to Costco. And I was like, hey, I'll go to Costco if you pay me $5. And I posted it in our little neighborhood Facebook group. And in a week one, they're like, hey, bro, thank you so much. Like, here's what I need. Apples, grapes, oranges, whatever, right? Next week, it's like, hey, bro, you know, Susie told me you were going to Costco. Can you grab me some stuff too? You know, okay, apples, grapes, oranges, whatever. So like 2 or 3 months go by and now, you know, we've got like 30 orders that we got to deliver from Costco. And so Josh, Sam and I would all meet up at my parents' house in Maple Grove and we would like figure out how to split all these orders up in our mom's minivans and then go to Costco, you know, check out all these orders and then deliver them, you know. And so we kept doing that and we basically realized that like this wasn't fast delivery. this wasn't slow delivery. It was just scheduled, right? People loved the fact that we just showed up at the same time every week on a Wednesday. They just paid $5 and it was the same time every week. And what was really cool, and this is one of our root features today, is we would ask the customer, our customers, we'd be like, hey, you know, Susie, I know you got these five items last week. Do you want me to get these for you again? And so it was really easy. They just text us and be like, hey, add onions, subtract beef. Yeah, that's good. You know, and then they just pay us. So that was the birth of Buncha, you know, and that was a few years ago. Now we've scaled. We're, you know, roughly 60 employees. We're in Minneapolis and Denver. We have some really cool retail partnerships. We've raised about $15 million. And our goal is two things, right? I guess I'll say one thing. Our goal is to be the most affordable way for you to get your weekly necessities delivered, whether that's grocery, liquor, you know, pet food, whatever. When you come to Buncha, we want to be as easy and convenient for you to do that as possible.
So you're not targeting a fill-in or an immediate need trip. You are targeting a stock-up trip.
Correct.
In the vernacular of consumer goods and grocery. You are going after the stock-up trip.
Correct. And the last thing I'll say on this, that's why we really lean into this milkman. Like we are the modern-day milkman, right? Like people depended on the milkman for that stock-up for their dairy. And it's also part of how we just do business, right? The milkman was always an exceptional experience. It was your neighborhood guy. You knew the guy. I'll talk a little bit about how that manifested in our platform, but we are the modern day milkman and we can enable that technology and make retailers today also have that modern day milkman feel.
Absolutely fascinating and fabulous. Welcome to the CPG guys, Bharat. I just love this notion of, I'm going to put words in your mouth here, guaranteed delivery weekly, same time. You said $5. Is that the right number per delivery?
Today, it's $3.45.
Wait, in a period of inflation, you went from five down to 3.45. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy awesome, but it's crazy.
And actually, sorry, Sri, to cut you off, but the cool thing that this 3.45 does is it's not just 3.45 per store, per order, right? Bunch is super unique because we can get you multiple stores delivered at the same time. What we realize is that customers, they don't just shop at one store for their weekly restock. They shop in multiple stores. And so we allow customers to check out across multiple stores. We bundle them into a single delivery and deliver it when the order comes through on our marketplace. And what's really cool about that for retailers that are on the marketplace is if they're on it, they're part of that weekly shop, right? They can be part of that bulk delivery. And we're able to drive incremental value to our retailers in that way as well.
That's like subscribe and save at a retailer level.
Yeah.
That's not like subscribe to the product. That's like I subscribe to that retailer.
Exactly.
That's huge.
I'd also say schedule subscribe and save.
Correct. Correct. Every week, every other week. One of the things that we're working on is putting some cool AI into it so that we can predict, right? Like imagine getting a notification on Sunday and it's like, hey, we think you've run out of these five things. You want us to order it for you? You know, and it shows up, right? So
maybe he answered our last question here on the CPG guys, what's next for Buncha? But we'll get to that in 1 second. But I want to get behind some of the inner workings, Bharat, if it's okay. And, you know, pretty much all the instant delivery, the 10 minutes, 50 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, all of them use gig workers. By the way, here in India, it was fascinating. And Asia is so far ahead of the United States and I would say the Western Hemisphere on home delivery. I can get anything here in my mom's house in 10, literally 10 minutes. We tested, of course, me being in this industry, I tested four different capabilities and all four of them delivered in the 10-minute window, which is absolutely insane. But there was fees associated in each one of those. There was no commonality between the fees. And I figured the reason why, which is my question now, is they're using gig workers and it depends on what they negotiated as pay. Y'all are not using gig workers to our knowledge. So tell us the inside workings of how this gets done.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of grocery delivery, right? Like, let's go back to the beginning, right? Initially, it was Uber, right? Pioneered the concept of moving atoms with bits, right? Push button, get car. Made sense. DoorDash was like, all right, push button, get food. Makes sense. But do we really need to push button, get groceries? And that's something we really thought about. And the gig model works really well for stuff that is on demand, is needed now. And I'm not arguing that grocery delivery doesn't need to be, obviously it's a multi-billion dollar industry, but no one's ever challenged, does it need to be fast? And instead, can it be a higher quality and more affordable, right? You pick two of three, right? Cost, quality, and speed.
I think that's faster, better, cheaper is the
faster, better,
is
cheaper,
the nomenclature,
yep,
right? And the question is, you can have two of those, but all three, that's unrealistic.
So we pick better and cheaper because we, you know, there's some data that's like, you know, something like 91% of Americans buy groceries weekly, but less than 12% of them use a delivery service to do so. Why? Because it's not very reliable, right? Sometimes the stuff is out of stock, whatever. So what we've done is we've really tried to invest in that experience. And the reason we're able to invest in that experience is because we're batching deliveries like the milkman, right? So when you log into the Buncha app, right, you're seeing a schedule of what's coming to the neighborhood. You order with your neighbors and we send one truck. Even if we're in a white label situation, right? It's the same deal. Typically, how we work with retailers in that situation is either the customer on the retailer's website during that specific window is either getting an elevated service level, like in-home delivery, which is something we can do, or there is another way to shape demand to that time slot, which is it's more affordable because we're batching. So in the same way, we might pick up 20 orders from the retailer and deliver. Batching allows us to reduce the cost per delivery, provide an exceptional experience, have and afford a W-2 driver that's well-trained, background-checked, you know, someone you develop a relationship with, which is really unique to Buncha. He is your milkman. He or she is your milkman or milkwoman. And that's what's really unique. So that honestly is a major differentiator for us because you just get a different tier of quality and customer service when you can invest in your people that are on the front line.
Just a follow-up, Bharat, on the stuff you said, right? So white labeling for retailers, did I just hear you slip out that you actually do that?
Yeah, we do. We do. So we have our marketplace, which we're obviously excited about, we talk about, but we also have recognized that we're not the only ones that are trying to make a better customer experience in delivery, right? The retailer wants that too. For on-demand, right, there is white label solutions, but we think we have an interesting opportunity to partner with retailers and say, hey, you know, if you are a retailer that wants to provide your customers with more choice, right? We've done the speed, we've done the ultra fast, we've done the 2-day, but what about the schedule, right? What if you want to get your customers to buy the same things over and over again, be part of a routine, right? The way I pitch this is next time your customer thinks about milk and tomatoes, they should think about, hey, my store is already coming, right? My store is already coming on Thursday. Be part of their routine before they even know that they need to order from that store. So we do have that white label capability. We basically just plug into the retailer's backend, power a, you know, as many times as they want, really, per zone, and kind of go from there. So,
you know, Bharat, another follow-up on that angle is we talked a little bit about the 10-minute, 20-minute follow-up immediate need states, mostly impulse and snacks and ice cream and candy, chocolate, things of that nature. In this world of organized delivery, you know, once a week, basket, pantry loading, one of the things that the shopper really seeks is their loyalty to the given retailer and the benefits they get from the loyalty card. That could be discounts, could be other things. So how do you guys bring that element in?
Yeah. So like if it's on the marketplace, we can partner with a retailer to accept loyalty card information and, you know, give that loyalty back, those points or whatever back to the customer. If it's on the white label, obviously we're just a mechanism to improve that. But I think like
if you're a white label, arguably they're getting that benefit from the retailer directly anyway. So I wouldn't worry about it
already. Right. But instead of looking at it retroactively, like look at it proactively, right? Like by being part, like if you want your customer to remember you, be there, right? Be there, be in their neighborhood every Wednesday. What a great way to drive customer loyalty by having you there, right? So, I mean, we have retailers that work with us on the marketplace and like the AOVs are higher. The purchase frequency is higher. The customer sat scores are higher. Just like just from a nature of we're not doing anything crazy here, right? We're literally like bringing back the milkman. And it's fascinating to see customers openly accept that and just say, hey, like this is actually a, just a better model for me to get what I need, you know?
I love that. The average order should be bigger because you're targeting stock up trips. Okay. So you mentioned earlier, and I see that you advertise Bunch's delivery costs are 20% cheaper than competitive offerings. And you mentioned $3.45 as being your price. At a high level, can you walk us through like the financial model that underpins this, especially given the fact that you have W-2 employees? Like, how does this work?
Yeah, I mean, for us, once again, it comes to batching, right? Like, you know, just to really, really dumb it down, right? This is an operations business. And at the end of the day, it comes down to how many orders can each of my frontline staff handle? In a traditional gig scenario, you might be only able to do one order an hour, 1.5 orders an hour. My drivers can drop off, you know, 15 to 25 orders an hour. So that's where the economies of, I call, local scale come into play, right? It's we're able
and
to
that,
just...
That's really important because when I think about this model, right, most e-commerce delivery of grocery, the drivers spend most of their time driving between locations and very little time actually delivering, unless you're in a very concentrated population area like New York City, where some delivery companies can drop a pallet and service 20 people in a building. You are basically bringing that kind of a economic scale model to a suburban kind of function where there are a lot of houses in the same neighborhood that you can service at the same time. And so your driver is not spending most of their time going from one house to the other because they're so close to each other.
Right. I mean, it's fascinating, right, man? Because it's like people, we have been so conditioned to get stuff faster. Now. But like, it's such a simple, like, hey, we'll just be here every Thursday, right? Like think of us as an ice cream truck, right? The ice cream truck shows up, they're gonna get some kids to buy some ice cream from that ice cream truck, guaranteed, right? It's the same thing. Like, we are showing up, we're gonna be in the customer's minds and build density just by the fact of being there, being better, and the key one, being more affordable. I think that is something that, you know, for some reason, we've kind of lost sight of, right? Like, affordability, specifically for folks' weekly grocery needs, is very, very important. And for us being able to say, hey, we are the most affordable way, it really helps customers, you know, gain trust with us. But also, when we're able to be more affordable, but also just provide that stellar customer experience, that's where we can just lock the customer in, regardless of if it's on the marketplace or on a branded white label solution that we partner with a retailer with.
I'm about to ask you stuff on the customer experience, but before I do that, you mentioned affordability quite a few amount of times, especially in this economy and times of inflation. Affordability does matter. So from a customer perspective, will they see the same price with you on Buncha that they will in-store or let's say on the retailer's website?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of our retailers, basically the way that they've positioned themselves is like, hey, I want to control the pricing on our third-party marketplaces. The good advantage that Buncha has is, you know, depending on if the retailer has a slightly different price in store or not, we're still able to say that we are cheaper because we're not adding an additional markup, an additional service fee, you know, subscription. That's one of our promises, is pricing transparency. $3.45, that's what you pay, that's what you get.
Got it. So let's move over to the world of customer experience at this point, when a shopper actually utilizes the Buncha platform, do they need to shop through your branded app? Do you actually reside inside retailer apps? And you started answering a bit of this already. What's the deal over here?
Yeah. So of course, you know, if you're a retailer that is looking for those incremental revenue and your strategy is, hey, I want to get as much of that as possible, you know, we have a super, super unique marketplace that is extremely loyal, extremely engaged weekly shoppers. And if you're passionate about capturing that weekly shop and building that behavior, we're an exceptional option to partner with as a marketplace. And the customer experience on that marketplace is actually really unique because once a customer identifies that, hey, this is one of my favorite stores and these are the items I get, they're actually able to be, those items show up in a separate view, not a traditional browser search view, but a view called My Essentials, where they can see all of their essentials across multiple stores. And what's really cool about that is that's a place where the customer can set reoccurring orders. They can, if they, you know, wake up in the morning, they're like, oh man, I really, you know, don't have this produce from these retailers that I typically get produce from. Tap, 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 check out, and you're done. Instead of searching for each individual item. So we're able to make that weekly restock process easier. In a situation where, you know, hey, the retailer's like, hey, I love Buncha, but I also want to invest. And by the way, we do both all the time with our retail partners. I love Buncha, but I want to invest really heavily in my own e-com. That's fantastic. You know, we'll work with the retailer. And there's some benefits actually that are really cool to this, right? We work with a retailer. We identify the stores they want to launch with us. We don't have to launch with every store because we have refrigerated vehicles that can go further than a typical gig worker can. And the coolest part, I think, that retailers have unintentionally told us that they really appreciate is they get the same driver team. So we're not sending 100 different people to the store. They get the same guys. And, you know, one the other day.
They understand how it runs. Operational efficiency.
They get it. And it's a small thing, right? Like, for example, their store forgot to load one of the vehicles with a few orders because they forgot the cart. Hey, driver that comes to our store every week, can you come back quick? We have 5 more orders for you to grab. And it's not, you're not getting routed through some obscure support. It's you. That's your driver. That's your team. That's your guy, you know? And we're able to do that because we have W-2, right? One other thing I'll call out that's unique about Buncha's platform is we have this W-2, and some of our retailers came to us and said, hey, you're able to train your drivers on our SOPs. We love that. But can you go a little further? Can we offer enhanced delivery through Buncha, and can you put the order inside the customer's home? We can do that. Background checked employees, same guy over and over again. Extensive training on how to talk to customers. So we're offering kind of in-home as a service for our white label model. And it's not that expensive because of batching, right? We're able to be competitive with our, you know, even our regular model by doing that. So that's kind of how, you know, a customer would interact with our platform on either product.
Well, I'm aware of only a couple of retailers who have the ability to go inside the house. So I'm very tempted to ask you who you're doing it for, but I'll be quiet and let Peter move on with the next question.
Yeah, you just stay quiet there, Sri. I want to remind our audience that we're speaking with Bharat Pulgam, founder and CEO of Buncha. Okay, so we've talked about the retailers. What is the value proposition for these retailers that might want to partner with Buncha as a delivery mechanism? And I'm really curious how you're able to represent their assortment real time in your mobile app. Like, what have you done there to make that work?
Yeah. So let's take that. Let me split that up. So I think the first value prop, let's talk the value props quick. Like it's quite simple, Peter. It's, you know, it's affordability, it's customer service, and it's customer loyalty. Like, and I think I've talked to why, you know, and how we manifest those in the platform. Just to reiterate, if you want to, you know, be part of your customer's weekly routine, you want to drive them to your own website, right? Let's work with Buncha. Let's get that done. If you want to add an additional very unique marketplace that gets you more incremental sales and incremental value by being part of that weekly restock for tens of thousands of customers in our markets, let's do that. You know, I think the other thing that we do really well, going to your second question, is the integration, right? We're a small team. We are a dedicated team. We have a really great group of people that help retailers onboard. And we really like to keep that milkman level service, not just for the customers, but also for our retailers. We know from our retail partners today what that relationships look like, and we want to do better. We want to offer a better experience. So typically, you know, you have a dedicated driver operations team, you have a dedicated person on our side on the tech side, and we can plug into catalogs, APIs, FTP buckets, whatever the way the retailer wants us to digest that information, we are set up to do that.
And I've got to imagine what's interesting is, if your customer acquisition comes through the retailer's platform, you deliver to their door, they see that it's Buncha, they learn through either your driver or through their own research that there are other retailers in your network that can they also leverage. And those are retailers that they themselves probably already use. Suddenly, you've now expanded the opportunity, and now you're adding more transactions from that specific consumer, your app and your delivery service becomes more sticky as a result of that. What a great concept.
Yeah, yeah. I think like we try to draw like a kind of a line in the sand where like when we are doing white label, we are serving the retailer. We're not in the business of marketing to their customers. We're here to serve the retailer and give them an exceptional experience. But some of our retailers partner with us and they say, hey, this in-home delivery is powered by Buncha. And that actually becomes a level of experience that the customer can expect that it's coming from us, right?
So you've got brand equity. You're building brand equity with the community.
Exactly. So that's really important. But we work with the retailer very closely on that, because when they go white label, we're here to serve them and what their core goals and KPIs are. The one unique thing, and I just want to throw this out there, is, you know, some of our retailers were actually co-branding vehicles. You know, the drivers wear co-branded vests. You know, it depends on the volume. It depends on the scope of the engagement. But we want to bring some cool stuff to the world. And that's a great way to do that. So
we at the CPG Guys are all about swag. So you don't have to tell us.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we approach the white label versus marketplace. But yeah.
Awesome. I can't believe that I waited this long to say I actually love the name Buncha, and it finally clicked in my head, Buncha Orders.
Yep. Our tagline is a bunch of neighbors saving a bunch of money on a bunch of groceries every week.
Hey, Buncha. Straightforward. So I want to get into the world of marketing. You just briefly mentioned over there for white label partnerships. Obviously, you're not in the business of marketing brands, but what about your own marketing efforts? Like, how do, obviously, you're on the CPG Guys platform now. The industry is going to hear of you in a much more scaled way pretty quickly. But how are you going into new markets? How are you telling potential customers you're existing in a new market? And then what's your 360 marketing effort overall?
Yeah. So I'll answer that first question quick. You know, part of the reason why we're really trying to get the word out there right now is, you know, we just closed an amazing round led by some amazing investors, our Series A, and we are actively looking to expand across the country today. So, and specifically what we're looking for is anchor retailers that want to launch with us in new markets and bring us to new markets and bring this experience to new markets. So that's kind of how we're thinking about it, is like, you know, we want to partner with a homegrown retailer or a retailer that's really passionate about a specific region and help them go achieve market share, you know, with our product, which we believe is really unique and which we believe increases the overall TAM of grocery delivery, and expand that way lockstep with a partner. So that's kind of how we're thinking about expansion right now. I love the question about marketing, because I think we do this better than anyone else in this space, is we have so much organic word of mouth marketing. So literally it's, you know, neighbors to neighbors telling each other how amazing Buncha is, how they're able to get their weekly restock. I mean, it is an outsized percentage of our customer acquisition that allows us to do this. You know, a lot of the other services spend a lot on, you know, paid marketing and performance marketing. We realize we can't compete with that. You know, we're never going to outbid some of these other guys that are, you know, much bigger, have bigger teams than we do. But we're really just focused on delivering on that experience. The one other thing I'll say is we have some very unique social commerce features in the app, you know, like unlocking certain stores if you get a certain amount of people. The more people that join, the more that savings there are. Interesting activations that a retailer can work with us on. Like, hey, if we can get X number of people, because college campuses have been a big focus for some of our retail partners. If you can get X number of people in the campus and in this neighborhood and campus to order together, right, we'll give you all a discount and get adoption that way. So some really interesting social commerce features we're able to power when we partner with retailers. And that's one of their objectives. So
nothing like good gamification in an app.
And it works really well.
Yeah. All right. So we talked a lot about retailers. So how do brands get in the game with Buncha? What do you got for them?
Yeah, I think it's actually really interesting. This is a new medium we're starting to explore and get into. We find retailers obviously want that weekly basket, but so do CPGs, so do brands, right? We have a really unique sampling program that we just launched, which is really cool, because there really isn't a better way to get a customer to convert than say, hey, here's a sample and we're going to be back next week, and give them a discount to order, right? Like, it's such a tangible offer that you could give a customer in one of our orders. And we're uniquely capable to provide that sampling in specific zip codes, areas, to specific demographics of customers, to specific lookalike audiences. Because, you know, if you're like, hey, I want to target this demographic, we know who those customers are, and we're able to make sure the samples, thanks to our W2 drivers, go in specific customer bags, right? So it's something we're just starting to spin up. We're really excited about the opportunities there. Obviously, we're also working through, like, you know, showing certain sponsored results first. You know, when you type in Apple, showing certain CPGs, or, you know, beef jerky sticks, whatever it might be. So we're just starting to explore this world, but I think if you're a brand that also cares about being part of the weekly shop, let's talk. You know, I think we have such an exceptional way for us to, you know, drive conversion on that specific type of trip.
That's a big one. And more to come on the CPG guys as we talk to you again, Bharath, hopefully in the future as you develop about the brand opportunity, because our industry is largely built around brands desiring scale and existing large brands who also need to take advantage of such platforms, but more to come. So I get the honor here on the CPG guys of asking the last question for this episode. And in the last question, we kind of always do a little bit of this thing we call fast forward. So go ahead and tell us your prediction or kind of your outlook for, as you fast forward, this last mile delivery trend. You're clearly setting a bunch of trends in the process. Get it, Peter? Bunch of trends.
We do that at the office all the time, Sri.
There we go. So I'm not stealing someone's copyright here, just to be clear, but thinks says it's okay on the show.
Yeah.
You're not getting called by NBC to take over for Jimmy Fallon. I'll tell you that much, Sri.
There we go. There we go. So what do you see developing in this space over the next few years? But I'm more interested in not just what you'll see, but how will it connect the dots with Buncha for your success?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone that's familiar with the industry, any like e-com folks, even any delivery folks, money was cheap, right? And I hate that phrase, but it's true. Money was cheap a few years ago. There was a lot of venture subsidized delivery stuff going on. And you see that a lot of those companies have rose and fallen, right? I think we're seeing a correction in the industry around prioritizing unit economics. And I think if you look at the strategies of the other competitors in the space, you know, they're looking for other ways and other mediums to generate those additional margin points to cover cost, right? Cover delivery costs, whether it's through advertising, CPG partnerships, whatever. I think that Buncha is uniquely set up, uniquely capable from day one to have a delivery model that has good unit economics so that every other incremental, you know, value prop that we can offer a CPG, a retailer, an advertiser is additional percentage points on top of that. And I think that's why, you know, our investors like us, and that's why we're able to, you know, be a unique player in the space. I also think that I'm starting to see more and more of these, you know, not taking a step back from delivery, even meal kit companies, right? More and more of this kind of like, hey, schedule, routine-based companies focus on eco-friendliness, right? I think people, more and more people are going to care about that. That's actually a really big value prop we didn't talk about today is, you know, Buncha. When a neighborhood uses Buncha over going to the store themselves or using another delivery service, there's actually a significant carbon emission savings that comes from the neighborhood participating in that batched grocery trip. So I think that's going to be, you know, something that customers care more and more about, that, you know, retailers will want to be part of, you know, with sustainability initiatives. And I think the last thing is Walmart obviously has a really big in-home delivery program. I think we can help other retailers bridge that gap. You know, and we have the training and the infrastructure available to help retailers bridge that gap. So I think for those reasons, I think that. But I guess, you know, last kind of note I'll say on this is we're very comfortable not competing against the other services, right? On-demand delivery will exist. On-demand delivery probably needs to exist. We're not arguing that. We're not going to replace that. But I think our focus and our niche is this specific use case. We believe that's actually a majority of grocery purchases. I think Buncha comes in and says, hey, we can go after we're democratizing grocery delivery. We're going after customers that can't afford it, that want a better experience, that want a more reliable experience. And I think that's actually a lot of people. So I truly believe like people like my mom, right? Who don't need that today. And that's actually a barrier. The existing services are a barrier for grocery delivery for them. You know, I think that we win in the long run by staying true to our core mission, staying true to who we are, which is being the most affordable way for you to get your weekly restock, to get your weekly grocery haul delivered, and continuing to, you know, make that more accessible for even more Americans in the years to come.
Hey, last question. Simple last question. Is mom part of the Buncha family? Is that how she gets her grocery?
Mom loves Buncha. Mom loves Buncha. Dad loves Buncha. Our neighbors love Buncha. So
you got a bunch of family members who love your business.
We got a bunch of family members, man. So
all right. Enough with the corny jokes. All right. I want to remind our audience, please go to cpgguys.com. You can find all of our content. Our episodes are organized into all sorts of filters like retail media, last mile delivery. So you can find episodes that pertain to the topic of your choice. And if you think you or your company has some thought leadership to contribute to this ongoing community discussion we've developed at the CPG Guys, drop us an email at contact@cpgguys.com. Maybe someday you can be sitting in a chair talking to Sri and me about your business. And of course, while you're there or you're on Apple or Spotify, leave us a rating, write us a review. We want to hear your feedback. As for rating, Sri, I don't know about you. My favorite number is 5. It's entirely up to you as to what you want to give us, but we like 5. And of course, lastly, thank you to the 28,500 followers on LinkedIn. We are so grateful that you trust us to educate and entertain you. Bharat, hey, man, thanks for coming on. You really delivered. I'm so glad that we were able to connect at FMI midwinter, and much success in your new venture. We're going to keep tabs with you, maybe have you back to talk about where this is going in the future, okay?
Yeah, Peter, Sharith, grateful for the time and grateful for the opportunity to share more about the cool work that we're doing.
Awesome. Sri, did he deliver? Bunch has got a whole bunch of reasons to talk, right?
I thought you just said no more using that, but here we go.
Okay, I slipped one more in.
So let's summarize what we learned over here. Like, first of all, I love your background, Bharat. We started with who is Buncha. Buncha connects retailers with neighborhoods like a milk run. Bharat took time to kind of decompose why milk run and use that word. There are plenty of customers, shoppers looking for cadence. Hey, I don't need instant 20-minute delivery, 18-minute delivery, 45-minute delivery. I don't want to pay the $7.99 stacked fees. Usually they're in the north of the $10 once you add everything up. But I know what I want weekly. It's going to be same time every single week. I want reliability, dependability. And I'm willing to pay a small fee for it. This wasn't his first rodeo. I love that he started a company at age 14 to make headphones. The question I was going to ask him is, did your parents love that, hate that, block you? But he answered the question without me asking him, but he said his mom inspired him to start the next company and they were totally behind him. What I didn't ask him, though, is to really decompose if he was really living in his parents' basement or in his parents' house. I'm going to guess he was in the second floor, had his own bedroom, and that's where a lot of stuff came from. But the story is of three friends coming together at University of Minnesota, a place I might actually know pretty well, and that mom ended up being inspiration by simply asking a question. The greatest founded companies usually are founded on the hypothesis of solving a problem and a problem that exists at home. So here we go. We got some good omen coming together over here. And hence was born the affordable scheduled delivery. And that's what he calls it, the most affordable weekly stock up. That's the ambition of the company. Allows orders from multiple retailers, investing in experience through the actual milkman itself. And the quality of who delivers matters. So these are W-2 employees, background check for the most part. And they can actually engage with their customers. Retailers love it because they're reliable, same person. More importantly, customers love it because for the same reason, reliable, same person, no safety issue. And then I asked about retailer partnership with loyalty card ecosystem. If the retailer so desires, they can, obviously, when it's white label, that's automatically in the mix. Then we got into how do the financials work? The answer is a simple one, batching. Affordability is a key principle. And then who controls prices of what customers see? Obviously, the retailer does that. Bharat now notes, I make meticulous notes. And then we wrapped it up right at the end by getting into pricing transparency. You see what you get, the importance of that. And then My Essentials as the key platform inside the Buncha ecosystem for customer experience as an interface where they can control what they get, what they don't get, frequency, things of that nature. On an occasion, should a retailer desire it, they have the ability to enhance delivery, which is put stuff in customers' homes. And that obviously comes with a background check of the driver and the person who actually, the milkman. Finally, we moved into marketing. How are they growing? I don't often get to hear, we often don't get to hear, it's word of mouth and an organic ecosystem, but here we go. That's what we're talking about over here. And then wrapping up right at the end for brands at the end of the day, early from a marketing advertising standpoint, but I heard a little bit about bags and what, you know, you can get messaging out on bags, but somewhere in the future.
Sampling seems to be the topic of the day for all the conversations we're having, Sri.
For sure. But somewhere in the future, I smell the early beginnings of a retail media ecosystem with the ability for sponsored products, things of that nature. And then last, I will stress it one more time. A key statement was made, and this is that T-shirt moment we talk of, Peter, democratizing grocery delivery. How do you do that? Good unit economics from day one. And that's paid back to the retailer by having the value of trying to create an additional percentage point for them. How'd you like that, Bob? We get the message?
All right. Well, Sri, thank you.
I see a thumbs up.
Okay, there we go. Funny, Sri. We're just cracking the dad jokes here, right? All right. Sri, thanks for the summary. And to our audience, appreciate you joining us. Hopefully we dropped some knowledge on you, left you with a little thought-provoking conversation, and maybe even made you chuckle once or twice with our dad jokes. Until next time, we look forward to speaking with you again on the, wait for it, the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.